I'm Melissa Torres.
And I'm Marmy Leach.
And this is Moving with Mel and Marm. I guess maybe it's because I'm in real estate that there's so many videos that come across my Instagram and TikTok that are like advertising, get rich with real estate investment.
Yeah.
And it's so easy. And do you get those?
No.
Oh, well, I get a ton of them.
Well, I think I've been getting one that's like, do you want to like, if you're a woman and you want to retire, message me and we'll get you into real estate or something.
Okay.
Which I don't disagree, but it's like,
Marmy, let me tell
you. Can you be even more dramatic?
Let me tell you. I went to her seminar.
Of course you did.
I did.
Like, that doesn't surprise me at all.
I took my mom.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
She's nothing if not optimistic. Like, Melissa.
No, she's, yeah.
No, I'm saying she.
Oh, me?
She, me. It's like a phrase, like. Melissa is nothing if not optimistic. I mean, you like, I wouldn't say you're gullible, but you believe.
Yes.
You believe in people. You believe in people.
Yes. And I believe that you can do anything that you set your mind to.
I love that.
I
agree.
It's just not as easy as people make it sound.
No, it's not.
And like, it is so great to have this huge rental portfolio. So my thing in real estate is buy and hold, right? Long-term buy and hold. And it is so great to have this huge portfolio and to have all this passive income. But there's a downside to that too. When tenants go wrong.
Oh my gosh. I think I saw your video.
It's so sad. I mean, it is very sad.
Yeah.
We bought a house in 2021. Needed a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
We renovated it. Is pretty big house, 2,700 square feet, big for the area.
Wow, that is big.
And it's on almost a half acre lot. Very pretty old house, like great. Had tenants there for 3 years.
Hey, you had that. I mean, that's pretty good to have someone long term.
Yes, I had to work with them a lot. They were not great tenants. They didn't pay on time.
Yeah,
a lot of the time, but they were there for a long time. They moved out and I did have to evict them. So mm-hmm. That is not a fun process.
Oh gosh. Like you had to go through the actual eviction process?
Yes. Yes.
Really?
Wait,
we need to hear about this too. I didn't know that.
Yeah. I've had to file evictions before, but never, this is my first full on got judgment against someone for eviction. This is the first time I've had to do that for my personal properties.
Yeah.
When I did property management, I was in eviction court every month. It was
somebody who owned. Okay.
And we had a very low eviction rate. It was like 3%, but because we managed so many homes.
It's not something you like
are
proud of, but sometimes you have to do it.
Right. Yeah. And it was so, you know, things happen. People, even good people that have great credit and great income, sometimes things happen to where their financial position changes and they can't pay rent. So went to court, got a judgment. They asked me not to file the writ of possession, which is basically when the constable comes, you have a crew and set all their stuff out on the sidewalk.
Mm-hmm.
They asked for a couple more days to get out of the house, which I gave them. They said that they were going to clean the house. They wanted a couple more days to clean the house. So I'm expecting the house to be pretty
picked up.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Right? I pull up to the house. And just from looking at the curb, I can tell this is not going to be good.
Oh, God. Like, what was on the curb?
Well, nothing was on the curb. It was all...
You just had a feeling.
It was in the yard, but it was not on the curb. It would have been better on the curb. The trash can was overflowing by the house. Somehow, they managed to break multiple panels on the garage door. So the garage door is like hanging off of the... I don't even know how this is possible. Like... Unless you do it on purpose. I don't know how it was possible. But there is a lot of stuff in the garage as well. So I'm like, okay, this is not what I was expecting. I was expecting a reasonably picked up, you know.
Yeah. Normal wear and tear.
Yeah, normal wear and tear.
Yeah,
normal wear and tear. Walk in. There is a sectional. There are some mattresses. There are a couple tables. There is some cat poop.
Ew.
And the house smells like pee. Like, it was not good.
Wood floors or carpet?
Mixture of vinyl and wood.
Okay.
And the house was, the walls were disgusting. Like, you know how if you were to touch like charcoal and get your hands black?
Yeah. No, I don't know that actually. I know what you're saying, but it's not an experience that I've had.
Yeah. I mean, I can't say that I've ever really played with charcoal either, but I'm just imagining.
Did you get a lot of coal in your stocking?
I'm just imagining, okay, your hands are like filthy and you just go and like try to finger paint on the walls. That's what happened. What? There's holes in the wall. There was a bag of dog food, patching one of the holes in the wall. It was disgusting.
That is so bizarre.
So that is, you know, when you're agreeing to be a landlord, something that you have to be prepared for.
Yep.
Hopefully you never experience it, but it's a possibility.
It can happen.
You never know. And I specifically asked the previous landlord when I did this application, like, how did they leave your house? And he said they left it fine. Like, it was fine. Well, it was not fine.
It was not fine.
It was not fine for me.
I thought it was bad when we had an Airbnb guest who brought a puppy that they didn't tell us about that clearly wasn't potty trained. And it peed. Like, there was a pillow sitting in a puddle of pee
that
the cleaners found. Yeah, we had to throw the pillow away, obviously. Yeah. But I thought that was bad. I mean, we were so lucky because the pee didn't, like, get on the carpet. It was just – but, man.
Yeah.
So, what did you do?
I mean,
did you just, like, walk in? I think I would have walked in, been overwhelmed, and just walked out.
Well, I took some video.
Yes.
Took some pictures. And I will say that I was very upset because I had really worked with these people, and the fact that they were so disrespectful to the house like that, it felt personal.
Yeah.
But it's business. It's not personal. It is what it is. Well, so,
I mean, yes and no. Real estate is very personal.
Yeah, it is true.
Where people live.
It's true. Well, I posted on a local Facebook page asking for recommendations of haul-off services, and it became a very lively. I put pictures to, like, give an idea of what was in the house, and it became a very lively thread.
Lively in the sense of what?
Well, my neighbor to the house posted, it actually looked worse than that. We went over and picked some of it up, and the trash collectors picked up what was on the curb.
Oh.
And a manager at Aaron's furniture, you know, store, asked me to call the manager of the bottom store because he thought he spotted some of their items that belonged to them.
What do you mean? What? Okay. What's Aaron's and what?
Okay.
Wait.
You don't know Aaron's?
Like
rent to own?
Oh, okay.
So basically,
I don't know. I mean, I think I've heard it. Like, we went to Aaron's, or there's like a commercial, like something.
I'm sure. Rent-A-Center.
Rent-A-Center. Okay. I've heard of that.
Okay. Well, so basically, the point of my story is sometimes when you invest in real estate, bad things happen.
Yeah. So don't invest in real estate. I'm just kidding.
I would still, you know, after all of that, I would still be a landlord.
Like, yeah.
I absolutely 100% still think it's a great thing. It's just you have to be able to stomach that is a possibility that could happen. And hopefully it won't.
Yeah.
But it could happen.
Yeah. I think the likelihood of happening is low. And so if you have multiple rental properties, then you basically just factor in a small percentage of maybe one property ends up having problems like that.
Right.
All right. Here's another crazy story of a real estate fail. And this comes out of Australia. Melbourne. I think it's from Melbourne. Hey, have you ever seen Jemay Private School Girl?
No.
What?
Okay, you are missing out. Okay. Jemai is a private school girl in Australia, and she's so, we're going to have to bleep this, but she's so quiche. She's really quiche because she has a thigh gap, but her thigh gap is bigger than other thigh gaps. So I'm going to talk an Australian accent for now. No. Okay. I really, actually, I'm not good at Australian accents.
But that was pretty good.
You have to see Jemai Private School Girl. It is so funny.
Okay. Is this like a show or
a... It's a show. Like, yeah.
Okay.
I think it's on HBO.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't really watch HBO.
Like, you could probably find clips of it on YouTube. Yeah. Just to give you a sense.
I don't watch TV just in general. Like, I do and I don't.
Yeah.
But I watch a lot of my clips, like SVU. I love SVU. I'm old school.
I used to be really into SVU when I was in college. And if anybody who lived in the DG house is listening, like with me, is listening to this right now, you know, we watched SVU like every single episode. And there were certain people who were in control of the remote.
And you were one of them.
I was one of them.
Dun, dun. Okay, so let's Olivia talk Benson. About this Australian veil. Okay.
So there was a realtor in Australia who burned down somebody's house. And that is my biggest fear.
Okay, how did that happen?
Yeah.
Because I will say that never before have I thought about potentially burning someone's house
down. I know. It's a fear. Yeah. But, okay, so she was hosting an open house, and she, I think it was a rental property, and so the tenants had sheets drying out in the yard. You know, things are different there. People probably dry things. We all use dryers here in the United States, but they had sheets drying in the yard, and she was trying to pick up for the open house. You know, one of the many things that realtors do behind the scenes that people don't notice.
Right.
And so she grabbed the sheets, she threw them on a shelf in a closet, closed the door, and did the open house. I don't know how far she got through the open house, but next thing you know, the house is on fire, and they determine that the sheets that she threw on top of a shelf just happened to be below a light bulb that caught the sheets on fire.
Oh my gosh. That is like a freak.
Yes.
Accident.
Yes. Okay. First of all, the houses are probably like a different voltage there than here.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, how could that happen?
Well, but think about now code is that you have to have a cover on a light bulb in a closet. And True. It's for this reason, because the bulbs can get hot. And if they're touching something, they can catch on fire.
You know, there's a lot of people who don't have covers on light bulbs in closets.
Absolutely.
I look at so many. I would say like 70% of older homes don't
Absolutely.
Have that.
Absolutely. I don't have covers in my closets.
I think I have some closets that don't have covers.
Yeah.
And I've never really...
Don't put blankets on the shelves.
Yeah, it must have been like touching the light bulb or something.
Yes,
but
yeah.
I feel like it's like, I mean, it's her fault, but it's not. I mean, I don't know. I don't know how.
It's such a freak accident. I mean, she definitely was intending to do well. I mean, she was picking up after these people.
Right.
And
who like should have had the house ready for the open house, but I do get it if it's a tenant. Like, it's not really. They have no like investment in making sure the house looks good.
Right.
Except for like if you're a tenant, you might not realize like the sooner we can get this sold, the sooner you don't have to have people coming in looking at it.
Absolutely.
As well. So I don't know. Rule of thumb is maybe it's best to show a property when your tenants aren't living there.
And be very weary of uncovered labels.
Yes.
Just pay attention.
Yes. And if you're a realtor, don't throw a sheet on a shelf right next to a light bulb because it might catch on fire. I don't know. I don't think I buy it. I don't buy it.
You think that it was a cover for arson?
I don't. Maybe. Or a grow house.
Oh, that it was some kind of like special light bulb?
Yeah.
That just,
I just don't buy it.
I really could see that could happen.
Yeah.
I really could. I mean, light bulbs can get hot.
Yeah.
Like old ones.
Yeah. Could have been a cover for arson because the brokerage had to pay.
It's crazy.
Their, or the, I guess their insurance.
Man, what would you do if you burned down a house?
I would quit.
Yeah. This is not for me. I should not be in charge of anybody's house.
I would quit. I would be so embarrassed. I would quit, and I think I'd move away.
Yeah.
But I couldn't face anybody ever again.
Yeah, that would be pretty awful.
Yeah.
That is, I think, one of my fears is, like, a lot of times we'll help people get things ready, like, and have contractors and stuff. Having something go wrong with the contractor and me being, like, helped facilitate that. And so I would feel, even though technically isn't my fault, I would still feel like it was my fault. Okay, so one story, this is my showing fail. We were looking at a house. This was during multiple offer craze, potentially waiving inspections, all of that. They brought their contractor with them to the showing. Contractor went in the attic. Contractor's foot went through the ceiling.
Oh my gosh.
So it was very a, okay, what do we do here? And I'm like, I'm going to have to call the listing agent and tell her that, I mean, it was in the closet. It's very possible that
thank God it was in the closet.
That we could have just been like, oh, we don't know how that happened.
Yeah.
But no.
But you never know because you have integrity.
Exactly. But I was like, I'm going to have to call the agent and tell her what happened. And then, of course, she's going to have to tell the
seller. I bet that was not a fun phone call.
It was not a fun phone call. Luckily, the agent was gracious.
Yeah.
And we were like, obviously, we will fix this.
Yeah.
And so they fixed it, and my clients did buy the house.
Perfect.
But, yeah, great ending. But that was definitely this is not good.
That would have been really stressful. Yeah. Well, okay, here's the thing. Nobody got hurt.
Nobody got hurt.
That's the most important part of it.
Nobody got hurt, and the house was still standing.
Yeah. It's just drywall.
Yes.
But I do get really nervous, especially when I have, like, a first-time buyer or especially a dad.
Yes.
A dad goes in the attic, like we're already under contract. We already had the inspection. The parents are in town. They want to see the house. And the dad's like, I'm going in the attic.
Yes.
And I'm like, what are you going to find up there? Like, what are you looking for? They don't know. I think it's a dad thing. They don't know what they're looking for, but they just need to see the attic.
Yes.
There's just something about a dad in an attic that goes together.
So growing up, my dad was doing something in the attic, and we had a house that had the open, like the two-story open, so high ceilings.
Yeah.
And he went through the ceiling. Luckily, not all the way. He caught himself.
Wait, did he go down to the, like, from the attic to the first floor?
He didn't fall on the floor. He was able to, like, catch himself. But it was not just a little foot hole. It was, like, a big body hole. And
big body hole. Should that be the title of our episode? It was a big body hole. It's not a foot hole. It was a body hole. This episode is way better than the last one we recorded.
Yes, it is. Much more light and airy.
Yeah.
But it's a reality of things happen.
Things happen. Mm-hmm. I think I've talked about how on this podcast, I've already talked about how I went to the wrong house one time. Luckily, no one was living there. That was like the luckiest thing ever because that could have been really bad if I walked into someone like showering. Or something.
Or but thinking that you were an intruder.
Yeah.
And we're in Texas. I'm like,
yeah, we're in Texas. Okay. I'm still living. One thing I did do, though, was Ryan and I were looking for a house that we were going to live in and renovate. And there was one in the M Streets. This was like 6 or 7 years ago. And we scheduled a tour. And it was like a Saturday at 5 or 6 o'clock. And we walk in and there's like music blaring and like red Solo cups everywhere and beer. And I'm like, what is going on? Like, let's leave. And I'm like, hello. And some like a frat guy from SMU comes out and I'm like, hey, we scheduled a tour on this property. And he's like, oh, okay. Yeah. I didn't know. Like we're playing beer pong in the backyard, but you just take a look at whatever. Like I literally walked in on a frat party.
That is so funny.
I just the music was so loud, like not just like loud, but so loud.
They obviously had no care about whether
sold or that's not. Another example where like the landlord and the tenant clearly were not communicating.
Yes, not on the same page.
Yeah.
I had a showing that I scheduled, and I think the owner got the alert. I scheduled it the day before, and so he got the alert and assumed he didn't, like, look at the time and assumed we were coming that evening or something.
Yeah.
And he had cameras. It was a vacant house. He had cameras all throughout and started talking to us through the cameras. Like,
so creepy.
What are you doing? Like, why are you in the house? And I'm like, we have a showing. And I showed him the confirmation through the camera. I'm like, look, we have a confirmation. And I was like, this is so uncomfortable.
And then you felt like someone was watching you the whole time?
Yes.
Okay.
It was very uncomfortable.
Speaking of, like, if you're a buyer, you can not say anything in showings now because everybody's watching.
Just assume you're being recorded.
I always recommend to a seller, like, don't watch it live. Like, if you want to go back and watch it, like, you do you, but don't watch it live.
Yeah.
Because sometimes it hurts. Sometimes people are so critical when they're looking for a home to buy, and chances are they're never going to change that thing that they said they're going to change, or their house is, like, way messier than yours is if they comment. But it is, like, very painful to watch it sometimes, and who knows, like, they might just be, like, super critical, but they still want to buy it,
right?
So,
and it's just uncomfortable for buyers.
Yeah,
they think that they're, it's, I mean, you should always assume that you're on camera, but hopefully you're not.
Not all real estate is butterflies and rainbows.
Absolutely.
Anyway, thanks for listening to our episode about real estate fails. We'll see you next time.
Yep.